Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Remarkable tease by Peter right before we went to break. Micah Parsons has entered the fray with Kayvon Thibodeau and the ridiculous stuff he said about how the Giants would beat the 49ers. After the way the 49ers play, maybe the Giants would beat the 49ers if Brock Purdy didn't have an elbow and you were playing with Josh Johnson as the quarterback. Maybe they would. But if one of the three healthy quarterbacks during the year, you know, Handsome Jimmy or Purdy.
Or Trey Lance.
Or Trey Lance. I don't think you have a shot. But anyway, Micah Parsons, what did he say?
Well, so Parsons responded.
Of the Cowboys, by the way.
That's right, Micah Parsons of the Cowboys. He responded with a gif that was sort of making a face like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that to Thibodeau's original tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fully understand Thibodeau's response to him, which was, what country are you in? I don't know what that meant.
No, but I just think that he wondered where he was.
Oh, because right. You're traveling too.
Right.
Parsons responded, I'm in America getting ready for the Pro Bowl. How about you? LOL.
Wow.
So that would be another.
You want to be a troller, you're going to get trolled.
Oh boy,
that's why I don't really deal in trolling.
You know, you're not a big troll.
And we all talk about the brethren that these players all have for each other, and it kind of takes the fun out of sports, right? Because the players never hate each other as much as the fan bases do. These seem like people that don't really like Kayvon, right? So they don't seem to be in on the joke, right, Peter? So they're quick to jump him and. It's all, I guess, in good fun, I guess, but I don't keep score on Twitter or in the newspaper or who has the drop the mic moment. I like to keep score where these guys get paid, and that's on the field. And all I know is the Giants were collectively against Philadelphia and Dallas this year, 0-5.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
That's where you keep score.
Let's take some phone calls on this. Let's go to Phil in Long Island. Phil.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Hey, listen, I just want to tell you something, Peter. I listen to you every day. I feel like you're part of the family because I'm listening to you all day long morning, in the night. I'm a hip hop head as well as also I consider myself a real radio talk show person going from way back from Bill Mazer to R. Russ Jr. I'm 48 years old. Probably 80% of your listening audience, probably even Peter. Doesn't know who those people are, but anyway, what I'm going to say is this: I just wonder one thing. When you guys are talking about these tweets and stuff, don't you feel in a way it's the low hanging fruit, the things that you're talking about in regards to the day after listen, I agree with everything you said. I think that was stupid remark to Thibodeau made. All that stuff is, you know, it's all crazy. But there's a well of stuff that can continuously be delved into in regards to tweeting. So it almost gives me, and listen, I love you guys. I listen every day. So, but it gives you almost an appreciation of the guys, you know, Mike and the dog or whatever, that did this stuff without having that stuff to pick from. They talked about the game. They talked about the officiating. They talked about this and that. To spend so much segments on some guy's tweet, this is the world now. I don't even have Twitter.
Well, you know what? Phil, if it's the world, then we cover it. And also, what we try to do is get some kind of local angle. This is a New York show. So, yeah, we could talk and break down every single play that happened and all the knee-jerk reactions about the officiating was bad. I mean, the first game, Brock Purdy got hurt. 49ers didn't have a chance. Second game, they pushed Patrick Mahomes out of bounds, 15 yards, put him within field goal range for Butler, that's the game. I mean, yeah, we could sit here and do the heavy lifting and breaking it down to a fine powder, but we're also trying to connect it locally. And I'm sorry, this is the way athletes now have a direct portal to you. They speak through Twitter. Mike and Dog didn't have to deal with Twitter. Now Mad Dog does. But the bottom line is Twitter is a big part of what athletes are sending out to the world. So for us not to sit here and dissect it, I think we'd be doing a disservice.
Listen, as somebody that worked with them and listened to them, you don't think that 20 years ago they didn't have hour-long conversations about something an athlete said in the post-game press conference or something that he said in a newspaper? I remember all the conversations that we had back in the day where, you know, when Daryl Strawberry was talking about going to the Dodgers when he was still, you know, playing for the Mets. Like, there was no Twitter, but there was media. There were things that were said, things that were done that made hours and hours of conversation.
Phil,
because it went beyond the penalties and the calls and all that. This time we got a 4-hour show. We're going to dive into all of it, but a pretty famous New York athlete got involved in a Twitter war, and this is 21st century radio.
And also, Phil, if you want to talk about, you know, how relevant and how, you know, Mike and Chris stuck to, you know, let me just recreate an actual conversation they had. So I saw a movie yesterday, Spider-Man. The guy swings from building to building with a web that shoots out of his wrist. He was bitten by a spider, and he got spider qualities, and he went from building to building. Chris Russo then goes, true story, Mikey? So please, it wasn't always breaking it down.
And I hear.
That's a true story, by the way. True story. No, it's a movie, dog.
Listen, I appreciate the sentiment. I don't think any of us were planning on doing this much on the Thibodeau, but people reacted strongly.
That's what we're doing.
I thought it was going to be a quick mention and go away, and then I was so surprised to hear so many people defending him that, yeah, it ends up leading you, pushing a little bit. Because, listen, can we also be fair, guys? We got 2 weeks. We only got one football game left to play. So we don't need to squeeze all of the reaction to yesterday's games into the opening two segments of the show. We got time.
True story, Peter?
It's your story, Doug.
New York.
Now, one thing that I will not take part in, and if Don and Peter want to, that's fine. I was, like, jumping around listening to shows today. I couldn't believe. I was reading the papers today. The outrage over the color of the Empire State Building. Really? I want to know, anybody out, do you guys really care? You're angry at a building? You're angry at the people who run the Empire State Building because they made it the Eagles' colors. Dumb move, yeah. But to sit and dissect it and get angry about it? I mean, to me, Mike Fracaro is one of the finest sports columnists in this country, if not the best. I don't know if it was faux outrage. I don't know if somebody in the New York Post it was on the front page of the Post.
I know. I saw this morning.
Mike Fracaro only writes about important. He was like outraged. Again, he's such a good writer. Maybe he could fake the outrage that the Empire State Building was Eagles. Who cares? Giants are out of it. Who cares?
I saw that Fracaro wrote it, and I was trying to figure out whether, like, maybe it was ironic or something. Like, don't get me wrong. I do think it was a bad look.
The front page of the New York Post?
Yeah, I mean, multiple articles, by the way. There were two articles on the front page of the Post this morning. And while I think it was a bad look, it's just a bit much. I'll just say this, though. Here's the one thing. Philadelphia would never. There's no world in which a building in Philly would accept the money to show the colors of another team. How do you know it was free, Anthony? That was confirmed?
Yeah, you could just request to have the lights. So probably the NFL said, hey, it's on the calendar, make the NFC and AFC championship winners light up the sky in New York.
Where do we get that confirmed from? Because I believe it's up for money.
The shows that DNR, Bart and Hahn, they both said that you just have to put a request in and then the NFL can approve it. I mean,
sure,
if the NFL wants them to do it,
they'll do it. Now, am I outraged? No, I'm not going to be outraged over it. But I just wish something can belong to us. You know, I do wish that New York wasn't, like, so great that it seems to have to share itself with the world. I wish there was a little bit of me involved in New York, where it's about you, it's about us, instead of always being about everybody else, right? I mean,
but don't you always say that you like New York because we're not so parochial, that we're not like Green Bay, Wisconsin, or small towns? Well, this is a big town. There are people in New York that don't care about the NFC.
I understand that. You're never going to get everybody to universally care. We've got multiple teams in every sport, and probably more than half the city doesn't care about sports. I'm talking about, when I say parochial, I don't think that we should be just always apologetic for our teams and not be critical of our teams like some of the small market ones hold on so dearly that they won't even criticize their own players or their own coaches or their own teams. That's what I'm talking about. But can we have something that's our own instead of like the Empire State Building is the Empire State Building. We're the Empire State. And it just seems strange that we're celebrating the Philadelphia Eagles, an arch rival, on our building. And they wouldn't do that in Pittsburgh, and they wouldn't do that in Boston, and they wouldn't do that in Philadelphia. And I think that's kind of a cool thing, that we kind of lose our own identity sometimes in just how big and how epic our city is, that it's like the windows of the world, but sometimes we kind of lose what we're about. Why can't we have things that belong to us? Like, I like the fact in Pittsburgh when the Penguins score a goal, there's a building that lights up red for, like, the goal thing. Like, everybody seems to be all in on what's going on in their city. And we just seem sometimes to be above all that, because we're and I guess it's a good thing that we are this, you know, the melting pot, like we're supposed to be the melting pot of the world, and New York is kind of the melting pot of the entire country. But sometimes I just wish there were things that were for us and for our community and to celebrate our community. And would it be so bad if the Empire State Building just represented the celebration of our own city?
Listen, I just promised that we were going to do the whole show on it, but I'm just saying, when you saw the Empire State Building was Eagles colors, were you outraged?
No, I was not outraged.
Right. That's why.
But I mean, probably because I've grown up. I mean, would 18-year-old Don would be going nuts? Yes, 18-year-old Don would probably lose it. I think it's more of a reflection on, I don't like let things like that bother me, but I can understand how people are bothered by it. It's our building in our city, and it's an arch rival of our team. And we're celebrating them, and it's like, okay, whatever.
I'm a little. I think there's grounds to be legitimately angry about it, like legitimately super annoyed about it. But it also feels inconsistent, because I feel like I was arguing with Giants fans just a week ago about how they weren't even that angry and they were proud of their team. It wasn't that big a deal
No.
I'm not talking about you, Don.
I'm just saying that's not what happened last week. It's just that's one of our rivals.
No, but
they want the
is,
Empire State Building lit up in Red Sox colors if the Red Sox advanced to the World Series.
Right, no, but what I'm saying is I just dealt with a whole fan base that didn't seem that outraged over the loss to the Eagles. And now you're more outraged about the Empire State Building?
But you're missing the point.
No, I'm not. I'm making the point.
No.
Yes, I am.
You're making the point of that your outrage comes from what happened last week. I still hate the Eagles, Peter. I could be okay with the loss and moving on from the loss because we just weren't as good as them. But that doesn't mean I like the Eagles and root for them in the Super Bowl. They're still an arch rival.
Right, but what I'm saying is it's a bigger deal that, let's be honest, the Empire State Building, it's not part of the New York government. It's a business. We're that outraged that a business put up the colors of the Eagles and not as outraged about being absolutely destroyed by them on national television?
I don't see the similarities at all.
Well, it's pretty obvious. The people
I don't see it.
All last week I said, how could you not be embarrassed by this? And everyone goes, who cares? We made the playoffs. We lost. Not a big deal.
That's one issue. But okay. That has no
reflection
on how I feel
about the Eagles.
But then to turn around
and be outraged by the Empire State Building?
I still don't like the but listen, Kansas City too. So you should be just as outraged at Kansas City. What are you celebrating other teams for?
Well, no, I don't think that hits the same way.
Yeah, but I think if they change the colors of the Venetian blinds on MetLife, then we should all be outraged. I know what Peter's saying. This is not a government building. It's a privately owned building, and the NFL told them to do it. So, I mean, what the outrage is about, if Yankee Stadium took on the Red Sox colors when the Red Sox won the World Series, then you could throw up in your mouth. I'm sorry.
If
the Golden State Warriors win another championship and they light up Madison Square Garden, Golden State colors, be angry. There's no affiliation with any of the teams of the Empire State Building.
No, but it's New York.
I get it. I get it.
Though they play in New Jersey, they represent New York. It's the New York Giants, and their arch rivals being celebrated by the most iconic building in our own city. It just, again, I'm not outraged by it because, you know, you get over this stuff. All the things you're saying are making sense. then yeah, who do you get? Maybe I'm not outraged because I don't know who to get mad at. If money's to be made, let it be made. If there's some good agreement they made, all right, whatever. But just I wish that there was a little bit more kind of sports community within our town. And sometimes I feel like we're above it, and we shouldn't be.
Well, and also on the tweet specifically, they wrote "Fly Eagles, fly."
Right, that ticked people off. But you know what? People are talking about the building today. This is exactly what their social media wants. Talking about the Empire State Building. Now, when you're in Manhattan tomorrow, are you going to not look at the Empire State Building because you're outraged?
I know, but you know,
I've never been to the top of the Empire State Building. I'm 61 years old. I've lived in New York my whole life. I've never been there, so they're not going to get any business. They just want to be talked about.
No, but we're talking about Thibodeau talking on social media. You know what? They don't have to talk. It's the Empire State Building. It speaks for itself. It's iconic.
Friend of mine who knows the process with the Empire State Building.
It represented something outside of New York.
The colors of the building is planned months in advance. So the NFL asked them to do it. Maybe, I don't know if they paid them any money. Anthony says that's not the case, so.
Again, outrage is strong because all the things that you say make sense, and I guess that's just what they do. You know, it's not a big deal to them, but I could see where it rubs people the wrong way. That's our building. It's New York.
Thanks to Julie Travis, or congratulations to Julie Travis from Rhinebeck. She won a $200 Amex gift card in the Super Box. Let's go to Tony in Bayonne. Tony. Again, I hit the wrong button. Sorry, Anthony. Hey, Tony.
You know, on this Thibodeau thing, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, on this Thibodeau thing, if you look at it at a different angle, in other words, if Thibodeau was saying, you know, he's frustrated because of the Eagle loss, you know, that they would have not I'm losing my point here now.
Sure did.
If he's angry that they got beat by the Eagles, and he's saying if we would have played the Niners without – you know, their quarterback.
No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, so if they played the Niners without Purdy, they would have a chance. And they would. But he didn't write it that way. So if you're going to be a writer and you're going to be a pontificator, words are like weapons. Man. He didn't write it that way. What Tony's saying is true. If he was trying to say, hey, without Brock Purdy, we'd have a chance against this team. And they would. They would have a chance because that team couldn't score yesterday. After Purdy went down, they scored a running touchdown, an amazing run by Christian McCaffrey. That's it. If he meant that, that makes sense. But then when Joe Staley calls him out, then he said, well, who are you? Who are you?
I could be wrong on this, but sports is not supposed to be a cult. You can criticize your own. It's okay. Nobody's telling you that he's not a great player. Nobody's telling you that we don't love him on the field. But that means that he can just do whatever he wants, and you feel like because you got to represent the Giants, you got to apologize for him or put words in his mouth or try to assume a positive thing that he did rather than a negative. It was just a joke. Right? No, if it was a joke, he would have said it was a joke. It wasn't. Why do you have to just blindly be that loyal? Be loyal to your team. Support them every way you can on the field, but when they do something silly, there's nothing wrong with saying it's silly. Nothing against the guy. Nobody's saying he should be traded. Nobody's saying fine him. Nobody's saying suspend him.
But talk to him.
We can't be we can't talk negative about anybody that plays for one of our teams.
But Don, you said something incorrect to start this. It is a cult. Sports is a cult.
Well, it's not
supposed to be. That's why you'll root for a bad guy on your team, but if that bad guy who did something bad is on the rival, then you're just outraged. I've seen it. I've seen it for every team in this tri-state area. Bad guy, my team, my guy. Bad guy, your team, awful guy. It's a cult. It just is. Always has been. Always will be. Let's go to Paul in Florida. Paul.
I just wanted to comment that I agree with what you guys are saying about the whole Kayvon thing. As a Giants fan, I'm frankly disappointed. There had been talk, you know, before the draft about what his attitude might be like and such, and everyone said, no, that's all wrong, and not that this is the end of the world, but I can clearly say before this came out, thinking to myself how happy I was that Eli Apple wasn't on the team anymore with all the tweeting nonsense he was doing. And then to hear about this today, again, it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to not root for him, but I am disappointed. And I would think more Giant fans are. Maybe they're just not being as vocal.
And Paul, you shouldn't be – I mean, he's a good player, so you should not want him on your team. But you brought up the Eli Apple stuff. I'm glad you did. Eli Apple looks like a stooge. Like, after they beat Buffalo, he goes, Cancun on three. So Patrick Mahomes' wife did the same thing back to him. When you act like a jerk or you're trolling people, the only way you get away with it is if you win the ultimate prize. If you end up being one of the 31 teams that lose, you will ultimately be trolled. So the Bengals always troll people because they smoke big cigars after a big win. Well, Mahomes said on the podium yesterday, I don't know if we have cigars, and then the Burrowhead stuff. It all comes back to haunt you. So it's very dangerous game to play simply because of the fact there's only one team that wins. There's only 53 guys that can preen. The other guys are going to be held accountable. As Robert Saleh said, we all have receipts now because once you put it out there into social media, it's there forever. What's the end game? What's the win? So there's so many guys that will end up losing because just the way sports is. One team wins, 31 lose. So if you're on the team, like Thibodeau, where your team lost, you're the one who looks bad. And this isn't something that haunted him like what Eli Apple did. Eli Apple did it while he was winning. This guy did this while he was losing and had lost already. What's the end game for that? All of a sudden, you're a social commentator? But I'm going to tell you the way the world is, Don and Peter. I'm sure that some pregame show will have him on because he's making himself the focal point. That's just the way it is. The worse guy you are, the more outrageous you are, you get hired to do these jobs.
I just find it interesting that you play in the biggest sport with the most attention than any other sport in North America.
And the biggest city in the world.
And you feel like you still have to do things to get noticed. Believe me, everybody noticed you in that Commanders game, right, Peter? You were the first to notice the way he played in that game.
And
when you win and you're successful in this city, believe me, your name is going to be remembered forever. Not for what you said, not for what you tweeted, not for something, you know, silly you did off the field. Believe me, this is the one sport and the one city where things like that, what you do, greatness on the field does not get ignored. Save that for other sports. Save that for other cities. Not here.
Hey, Don, who turned 80 today? Do you know?
Who turned 80?
Somebody of significance.
Somebody of significance on a team that you love.
I should know that. I saw a bunch of significance birthdays today.
On a team that you love the last time they won a championship.
Team that you love, Don, the last time they won a championship.
Oh, so he's 80 today, and he was a part of a team that I loved that won a championship.
So it couldn't be a Met.
Couldn't be a player.
It's gotta be
So I'm gonna guess Davey Johnson.
Oh yeah. Yes. Beautifully done.
There it is.
Beautifully done. Wow. He did that almost like a detective. Don the detective. I love it. You don't know the name for detective, right, Peter? Anyway, we'll get back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And he writes, there's a scout from the WWE here at the Shrine Bowl. I talked with him some, and he's here doing the opposite of the rest of us and scouting to see which players will likely not get drafted. It's part of WWE's strategy to find athletes instead of wrestlers in other promotions. And then Asti goes on to write, imagine the conversation a WWE scout would have while attending events like the Shrine Bowl. Every player wants to get to the NFL, so they may take it as an insult if he approaches them. His strategy is probably obvious. It is nice he's here, though, since all won't make it. Isn't that interesting?
Well, no, they've been super aggressive about about finding athletes now. That's like a big part of at their performance center in Florida. A really high percentage of people down there are athletes, not pro wrestlers.
So how'd it go this weekend in San Antonio?
Which I have mixed feelings on, but whatever. San Antonio was a lot of fun. The Rumble was great. I got some. I got a little bit of QT with Mr. Dave LaGreca.
Oh, you
Saturday.
Did? Really? I was going to ask you about that.
Sure did. It was very nice. I tried to take a picture to send Don of a moment when a fan absolutely lost it seeing Dave. He was, are you Dave LaGreca? So I tried to capture it with a still photo. But
I love the fact that I saw a video where people were chanting your name too. Rosenberg. Yeah.
Would anybody have ever believed the name Rosenberg would be chanted in San Antonio, Texas? It seems unlikely, but guess what happened?
Wow.
No, it
wouldn't be on the campaign trail.
It was a great show. The culmination of the Bloodline Sami Zayn thing on Saturday night was brilliant. And that Alamo Dome is a pretty cool place too. So, to answer your question, had a great time.
How many people?
50,000, largest gate for any Royal Rumble ever. I think they made $7.5 million.
I think they're doing
Holy
well.
Crap.
I really do.
No, they're going to be okay.
Yeah, they are going to be okay. The New York Islanders' 50th anniversary season continues with celebration and giveaways all season long at UBS Arena. Now, ESPN New York wants to make you a part of this historic season, so enter to win 2 free tickets. See the Islanders face off against the Kraken. That's at home on February 7th. Rangers, Islanders, Devils, all off this week for the All-Star game.
That's right.
Just download the ESPN New York app, scroll down to contest, submit your entry. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Be sure to visit NewYorkIslanders.com for team news, tickets, and more. And catch every Islanders game live on the Islanders stream, heard only on the ESPN New York app. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to BJ in East Meadow. BJ.
So it's actually EJ.
I'm sorry, EJ.
Sorry about that.
It's not your fault. I was sitting here on hold like, oh, my God, are they going to say BJ? But let me Quentin Williams, okay, because I get, and I actually, let me preface this, I've been with you guys for a long time, so let me preface this that I agree with you on Thibodeau. He shouldn't have said it, but Quinnen put out a tweet.
That's all right.
Put out a tweet earlier, I think it was last night, during the 49ers game, saying about Joey Bosa, right? And he said, yeah, hey, Bosa, you know, basically, I'm summarizing here, welcome to no offense, right? And then he deleted it. I'm wondering, to me, that kind of tweet, especially from a guy who's looking for another contract in a year, to me, that kind of tweet is worth the I'm not trying to produce your show, but that
we ripped him. I don't know if you heard it. EJ, we ripped him.
No, you're right. He's right though. It hasn't gotten as much time, and it is worse.
And by the way, he did delete.
I mean, it's way worse.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's absolutely terrible because you're going after your own team. You couldn't be more right. And we did address it. But more people seem to be outraged. Giant fans are louder about us ripping Thibodeau than any Jet
That's
fans
it.
About Quinnen Williams. Because how do you even defend what Quinnen Williams did? You're throwing your own offense under the bus.
We ripped them both. Matter of fact, Williams first.
Yes.
But the reaction came from the Giant fans, not the Jet fans. Now, I don't know why. Maybe it was because it was deleted. So there was at least an acknowledgement that that was the wrong thing to do. Or are they used to it or they can't defend it. I think it's way worse because you're ripping your own team. At least Kayvon was coming from a place of positive about his team. You know, to rip your own team, and it's been something that's been going on with the Jets for a while. And the thing I mentioned at the beginning of the show is that I blame Robert Saleh. He should have nipped this in the bud from the very beginning, the second Zach got hurt. But he didn't do anything about them wearing the T-shirts of Mike Effin White and didn't seem to, at least publicly, have anything negative to say about all the negativity that was coming from the players about Zach and about the offense, and it's festered into this. Now I don't know. Michael, now I don't know how you get back from it, other than you just move on from Zach.
I mean, you really made Zach an enemy in his own room. And you know what? I blame Joe Douglas. I blame Robert Saleh. They all saw those guys wearing those T-shirts, and they should have said, take them off. Some coach, some position coach knew exactly what those guys were going to do. You cannot embarrass one of your own teammates like that.
So why didn't he, Michael? And I think part of it might be I think they're on board.
Players coach.
I think, he's a players guy, but I think he was also on board because they all wanted to get behind Mike White. Because I think deep down inside, nobody really felt Zach was the guy. Well, Zach's still on the team, right? So who knows? I don't think it's by design that he's going to be back and be the quarterback of the team, but who knows? He's your teammate. Just show some support.
Let's go to Robbie in Brooklyn. Robbie.
I'm a longtime Niners fan, and I really can't justify Shanahan's play calling. I mean, he's got a history of getting his quarterbacks killed. RG3, I mean, Trey Lance, Garoppolo. And yesterday, I mean, with that blocking, I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, you've got their best pass rusher, and he's throwing a backup tight end?
Yeah, not
a good look. The announcers called him out.
No, but Robbie, it's an awful look, and I guess in order for Shanahan to be as creative as he is offensively, he does leave some protection issues to chance. And they were all over him. They were all over both of the quarterbacks. So, yeah, there's no defending it. He did, as great as genius as he is, and we'll talk to Steve Young about it, there are some protection issues, and his quarterbacks do get hurt. And Garoppolo's foot is hurt. That had nothing to do with getting hit.
No, but, you know, Purdy gets hurt, and then you've got a 36-year-old quarterback as his backup, a journeyman that a month ago was on the Broncos, I believe. And you got to have – I'm sorry. Steve will definitely school me on this. He knows way more. Should there be some plan, something, if these guys both get hurt?
I bet you I could say his answer, and I'll just guess very quickly. They have so little time to prepare for a game that they're not going to spend time preparing for an unlikely eventuality.
I guess that's probably the answer. But you know what? It wasn't unlikely when it happens.
Yeah.
And it was still a winnable game when it happened. And I can't imagine the emergency plan is just hand off every play.
That's not what you want.
Oh, it was awful. They gave up. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't try. Of course they tried, but the game plan of just running the ball when the Eagles defense, which is outstanding, knew they weren't going to throw the ball, you're giving up. You have no chance to score. Let's go to Leo in Brooklyn. Leo.
Hi, man. How are you, Michael K?
Good. How you doing, Leo?
How are you guys? What's
good.
Up, Peter? What's up, Don?
Yo.
What's up?
Okay. I'm a huge fan of your show. Michael, I'm a huge fan of you. I'm a huge fan of your work.
Thanks.
But I have to totally disagree with your take on the whole Empire State Building thing. I'm sorry. I am not a Giants. I'm a Giants fan, but I don't lose sleep over the Giants. But I do lose sleep over the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. And I lose sleep over the New York Rangers. I cannot disagree more.
But
let's just
disagree.
Say
I said that. Wait a second, Leo. I said it was wrong. I'm just not that ticked off about it. It didn't keep. I don't believe it belongs on the front page of the Post or having an esteemed columnist like Mike Vaccaro writing an outraged story about it. It's not outrageous. It's dumb.
I blame the
NFL more, Leo, because you think that Major League Baseball would be stupid enough to say to the Empire State Building, hey, if the Red Sox win the World Series, put their colors up there?
Yeah, but Michael, it's tone deaf, Michael. It's tone deaf. And you know what? Where does it end? And just because this happens, what's next? A parade? A parade for them? What's next? Maybe that's why we stopped winning. Maybe that's why we haven't won anything in so long. Because we're too nice. Let's get back to winning instead of trying to make everything so kind. Let's be kind. Let's start winning. And then we could do this nice stuff to everybody else, okay? Maybe that's why we stopped winning, okay? Maybe that's why. Listen, I'm all for sportsmanship. I'm all for shaking your hand after the game, the line, everything. But listen, where does it end?
I think ends there.
Leo, the Empire State Building doesn't have an affiliation with the Giants or the Jets. If the Giants or Jets lit up MetLife Stadium those colors, then you have a right to be outraged.
They represent New York. The Empire State Building represents New York. It's one of the most iconic buildings on the planet.
The teams have nothing to do with this. I mean, John Mara should call up Roger Goodell and go, really? You asked the NFL to do this? This is ridiculous. That should be it. But I'm sorry. It doesn't deserve the front page of a newspaper.
Well, I mean, maybe it was a slow day. I don't know. Like I said, outrage, it's strong. But I get the outrage, if that makes any sense, of, hey, it's New York, and that's an iconic building in New York. And why would you and any Giant fan hates the Eagles?
You know, John Winthrop brings up a good point, one of our pinhead suits. If this thing had to be booked like months in advance, what would have happened if it was the Giants against the Eagles in the NFC Championship game? And the Giants get there, they would have lit it up the color of the Eagles. There might have been a riot then. It's really tone deaf by the NFL. Forget about the Empire State Building trying to get attention. It got exactly that. But what's the NFL doing?
I don't know.
It is a weird look. Overall, very weird.
Yeah, just at least give us that. It's strange.
It's not a great look. But again, I didn't lose a wink of sleep about it. I'm just amazed that people are that angry about it. It's a building.
I guess the thing that makes me like sensitive about it is it's hard to be taken seriously as a sports town when something like that happens. Like, y'all, New York's passionate about their sports. Well, how passionate it can be, though. The rival Eagles were celebrated by their most iconic building. Do they really take their sports seriously there? Now, I'm not saying you got to vomit on people in front of you in the building to show how much you support or eat horse poop.
That's how I
feel. But you don't want the reputation around the world to be, well, you know, New York, they like their sports, but they must not really be in love because look how they celebrated the opposition. So there is an in-between there. So that's kind of what bothers me because I think New York is among the most passionate fan bases. It's just unfortunate to just so many people. That's why the ratings aren't quite as high. But the people, the teams that are here are supported by fans that love their team and get aggravated by things like that. And now you feel like you're not even being supported by your own city. First, you got a mayor who decides that, you know, a vegan cheesecake is the way to represent the team in a bet. And now you got this. Let's step up our game a little bit, New York. What do you say?
Steve Young joins us at 5. Tomorrow at 5, not today.
What?
Yeah.
No.
A little bit of a change in plan.
No, I'm good.
So that's it? You don't even want it tomorrow?
I'm ready.
I know you're ready, but you'll be ready tomorrow.
What, I got to blow out the candles and now light them again? I mean, I'm all ready. I'm all revved up here.
I'm sorry.
We're all set to go.
Anthony, what's the meaning behind this? What's going on?
I asked Steve if he could join us, and he said, can we do tomorrow? And I said, okay.
Well, and you just said yes. Very.
I might not be in the mood tomorrow.
I could write back.
How many times has Nancy heard that?
Honestly, never.
Every day except not their anniversary.
No, that's right.
I mean, if we're changing the subject, the answer is never.
We suck.
You've never not been in the mood.
Never.
Interesting.
Well, God bless.
Well, as Peter said, so accurately said, if it's just on the anniversary, I would say you should be in the mood.
Well, that is true.
Yeah. We'll take a brief time out, sort this out right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Quote, I'm not going to leave Sirius. Let's put it that way. I love Sirius so much. They've been good to me. I'm not ruling out the idea somebody takes an hour of Sirius and puts it on terrestrial radio. That would be different, but Sirius in the afternoon, I'm going to do that as long as they'll have me to make a long story short.
Wow. The real news here is you said they're still publishing Newsday, huh?
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
A lot of people work hard out on the island for that.
Sorry, I'm just teasing.
I usually give the name of the person who writes a story like that, but I won't in this case.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
He didn't
Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, was outraged at the Empire State Building on the Eagles color.
Hmm.
And he tweeted it, too. He was outraged.
Hmm. Well, good for him.
I could see being upset. Outrage is just a bridge too far for me.
Here's the thing. If you're going to be if you're going to just either care or not care, might as well, if you're going to care, be outraged.
All right.
Right? I mean, I guess that's
very well said.
But it did bother me. But as far as, you know, losing sleep, I pass out now. It's not like sleep. It's more pass out.
Right. You're just there 1 minute and then you're gone.
It's like a lot of, you know, monster trucks with the kids.
How was that? Everything you thought it would be?
They really do a good job. They really do. It's a lot. The place was packed. There was not an empty seat at The Rock.
Really?
They really know how to put on a show. I don't know how they do what they do. Lindsay Reed, who rides the Scooby-Doo monster truck, which Jalen loved, did a backflip with a truck.
And then you tried to do it in the parking lot with yours?
No, I don't have the big tires.
Oh.
But it's they really know how to put on a show and make an outrageous amount of money. Because, you know, he had to have the grave digger's mug with the snow cone stuff.
You could have told him no.
I could, but, you know, come on, Michael. Yeah, we're out.
You're going to spoil your kids.
But we're out.
All right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying, Peter?
Sure.
Once you decide to go, what are you doing?
You're paying for
the tickets to go to the event, right? You're having a good time. What are you going to just all of a sudden put a governor on it? No, have out.
Yeah, have a good time. Have out time.
Well, we won Worst Parents of the Weekend Award in the United States. So Saturday is the day the kids go for the skiing lesson. So, I mean, just to get everything in the car, you know, the skis, the boots, the you know, the helmets, the thermal underwear, the gloves. And we get to the ski area and we didn't pack their coats.
No. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
That is really unfortunate.
And how far is the ride?
About an hour. So
that was it. There was no ski.
No, because we called an audible. We went Omaha. And Callie wore Jody's coat. And this is terrible to say, but we went to the Lost and Found and we took somebody's coat for Charlie and put it on and then gave it back.
That's not terrible. Sell coats there?
It's not terrible if you give it back.
They do sell coats. I'm not going to buy him another coat. He has a coat.
That is, I got to tell you. All right, hold
so
on.
Get Ooh. Off my end.
Hold on.
Don chooses to spoil his children.
Hold on. You're
choosing not to.
Hold on. Someone of your iconic wealth.
Yes.
Instead of buying a jacket that maybe you just, you know, put in the closet and keep, he can have a second jacket. You went to the Lost and Found.
Yeah.
Then, well, you know what, Don? You can take the boy out of the South Bronx.
Right.
You can't take this. That is unreal.
Wow.
What did I do wrong? The jacket fit him. He went skiing. We gave the jacket back. We didn't take the jacket. Why should we buy him a jacket? His brand new jacket that he has that we forgot the pack.
Someone's filthy old jacket.
Right. I'm sure there were leeches in there and ticks. You're right.
Do you ever worry that you're setting your kids up for nozzledom by them even getting ski lessons? Honestly.
No. We're setting them up to have options in life because Jody and I never got ski lessons.
I know.
There wasn't a lot of hills in the Bronx, so. But Jody in West Virginia, she was lucky to have teeth, so we didn't exactly go skiing.
Oh, my God.
Apologies to the people of West Virginia if you have family in West Virginia.
Just a joke, everybody.
The opinions of Michael K. are not necessarily those of the Michael K. show. Or ESPN.
Is that not the...
But lean into it. Like I said, I'm leaning into the monster truck, so I'll pay the $25 for the snow.
I'm not going to pay $150.
But when you go, when you're already getting into that stratosphere of my kids have to have ski lessons.
They don't have to. We want to give them options. So when they grow up, if they want to go skiing with their friends, they don't have to sit in the lodge.
What about, Don, here's another thought. What was the temperature yesterday? Because it wasn't a cold day.
It wasn't a cold. If it was a cold day, it wouldn't have been... Jody had a vest on, which she gave to Callie, but Callie didn't want anything.
You couldn't have just got Charlie, for example, another like sweatshirt and put on another layer.
He refused.
Okay, you tried.
Yeah, he said he wanted either a ski coat or he's not skiing.
Oh, then he should have said not skiing then.
No.
I'm disappointed. Well, that
still would have paid for it.
Prepaid. He really had you by the nads, huh?
No, he didn't because we went to a Lost and Found and got him a filthy, disgusting jacket. So who won, really? I did.
You know what? Good point. Wow. This story is fascinating.
It's odd, though. I mean,
there's
what's
no way
a
around.
Facade?
It's odd. Somebody is going to tell somebody. I met this weekend at the ski lodge. Who? Michael Kay, voice of the Yankees, has an afternoon drive. Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
He was a great guy, but his kids, they forgot their jackets at home. Oh, so you must have made a nice commission on the new jackets. He bought. No, no. He used this one. Used the mom's, and the other one went to the Lost and Found. Oh, really? Okay. Thought the Yankees would pay more than that.
It is fascinating.
You know that you guys know. I mean, maybe I'm lifting the curtain too much. There could be a big cut in salary if one of the jobs goes away. So you got to think ahead.
That's a good point.
Is it? Well, yeah. I mean, that,
two people
that'd be
came
your...
up to me. This is not a lie. Two people at the ski area. It's not a resort, and said, "Please don't retire."
That's not surprising.
They do realize it's just the radio, right? These aren't Yankee fans who think you might walk away from it all.
They know it's just the radio. They got to pull my cold, dead hands out of the Yankee booth.
We'll make the adjustment.
I think you do. I told Peter the other day, I think Don wants me to
go. And listen, I tried my best, Don, to argue against it. But every time it comes up, all you say is, don't worry, I'll be fine. So, I mean, I didn't have a lot of room to argue.
I would like him to stay, but I'm not going to sit here and cry, please don't go. If he goes, he goes. I'm not Shanahan. I've got the third option. I've got another quarterback. I don't know who it's going to be. But I've got – there's a game plan.
From your mouth to God's ear.
Don't you think, Peter?
That there's a game plan or that we'll be okay?
I'm more worried about what's going to be on the Empire State Building tonight than whether Michael stays or goes. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.